Composed and performed the music. Bonnie McKinley, Jan Zuckerman, Althea Billings, Melanie Plout, and Melissa Marsland were editing consultants. Special thanks to Dan Sears, Ben Eichenberg, Gary Hughes, Theo LeCain, Tyler Lobdell, Rich Plevin, and Allie Rosenbluth. Funding for this program was provided by the Regional Arts and Culture Council, the Fund for Investigative Journalism, Monhood Cable Regulatory Commission Community Grants, Stephen and Jan Marks, June Sakara, and Diane Dick. For more information, visit chasingchimeras.org. We've been listening to the premiere of my new documentary, Chasing Chimeras, The Lure of Deceptive Climate Solutions. And you've been listening to Locus Focus on KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon, Seattle stations KPFG LP from County XLP FM, KNUN and KCBB in Astoria, Oregon, KCEI in Taos, New Mexico, Radio Free Moscow in Idaho, and Radio Tacoma. If you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear what you missed, or you want your friends or family to hear this show, you can listen to a podcast on our website, kboo.fm/locus-focus. To hear previous episodes of this show or any of our KBOO Public Affairs programming, go to kboo.fm or listen on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. I want to give special thanks to the KBOO staff and volunteers who continue to do an incredible job of making KBOO the important community resource that it is. And you can help us by becoming a member of KBOO or renewing your membership if you're already a member. We're independent, community-supported, grass-fed, volunteer-powered radio. Go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Or please support.
I'm Sequoia Ezekiwe for Ear to the Streets of Portland, on the best community radio station on the planet, KBOO Community Radio, KBOO Portland.
I'm Don Jacobson, host of Movin' On, Fridays right after the noon news. Not only does Movin' On feature folk music, but every Monday through Friday, 5:30 to 7 a.m., you can hear a different host bringing you folk music that is engaging, intelligent, heartfelt, humorous, profound, entertaining, and relevant. It is accessible right here on KBOO. Please take this opportunity to invest in a radio station that dares to bring you folk music that you cannot hear anywhere else. Go to kboo.fm/give, text to KBOO at 44321, or click on donate on your mobile app. Whatever you can afford, your generosity is greatly appreciated. Thank you.
From Pacifica Radio in San Francisco, this is Flashpoints. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Today on the show, Trump's ICE shock troops expanding their numbers and their violent roundups of brown people from coast to coast. And Trump says he ordered the nuclear subs repositioned in a rare nuclear threat to Russia. Meanwhile, if a storm hits the Diablo Canyon reactor on the West Coast, like the recent one that hit Russia, we may have to kiss our West Coast goodbye. All this and more coming up straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. We are coming to you every weekday from 5 to 6 over the Pacifica Radio Network. That's KPFA in the Bay Area, and we are happy to have you along. Also want to recommend that you make sure to tune in next Friday, where we will be broadcasting from the docks looking onto Alcatraz, and we'll be reporting on the fact that the Trump administration has threatened to turn Alcatraz back into a prison for deportation of brown people all over this country. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that. We're going to take a ride around the island, and then we're going to be broadcasting from the dock. So please stay tuned for that as well. And again, this is your daily investigative news magazine, founded on a network that folks understood had to be created some, I don't know, 1949, many years ago, to speak truth to power. We thank them, and we continue with you right now. And we're going to turn our attention to the sweeps and the violent, expanding violent sweeps being carried out by Homeland Security. It is a very ugly situation. Many people who we know are threatened. Some have gone into hiding. And who knows what comes next. Joining us to talk about this in the first half of the show is our good brother, our senior producer, Miguel Gavilan Molina, who has been through this many times around. And also joining us is our resident troubadour. Francisco is joining us. Hello, are you there?
Good.
All right, we're going to be joined by Francisco. Having a little technical problem here, reaching Renee Salcedo. Hopefully we'll be able to get to her, but joining us now is Francisco Herrera, our resident troubadour. Francisco, can you hear me?
I hear you well. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And it's always a pleasure to hear you. Miguel is trying to reach Renee Salcedo. Let's begin, though. You work as somebody who works with the day laborers. You're on the street all the time. You know what's going on at the ground level, eye to eye. Why don't you give us a sense of the fear and the terror that is now reverberating through the communities that you represent? And maybe you can share some of the stories and some of the work you've been involved in.
Sure thing. I'm going to give you some of that. And also, I have some important late breaking news on PPS. But yes, most definitely, people are feeling a tremendous sense of fear, isolation. We have at least two members from the program from the Day Laborers Nuevo Sol Day Labor and Domestic Worker Center, who've experienced the fear at the level of being paralyzed. Just last night at a membership meeting, a couple of the compañeras, the domestic worker companions, were sharing about one of our members who's from Nigeria and how she is completely frozen, and they're actually helping her with their own donations, and they brought it up to the group of how we can help her. But she's in a place of being so paralyzed that she's afraid to go outside of her house, and that's become kind of a common thing that we're hearing from different, not just members, but different people in the community that are experiencing this level of fear, you know. And of course, we got the children who then witness this from their parents and experience and get traumatized as well. So it's been a very violent experience. And even children of citizens, like our children, who of us who have documents of citizenship, are experiencing the fear of, will their parents be taken? And also friends of whom they know about. And so it's all the more heroic, for example, that Tuesday, Dennis, over 200 people came to the federal building to support the Honduran, Nicaraguan, and Nepalese community. And Judge Trina Thompson delivered her decision just yesterday that the Trump administration cannot deport TPS holders from Honduras, Nepal, and Nicaragua. And she's actually looking deeper into this, if this whole thing is underlying motivation is racism. So it will be continued now. She's actually taken on saying, they're bringing this on. What are the motives for even bringing this stuff up of wanting to deport these folks with holding GPS? So in today there was another 100 people at the federal building, and about 75 folks packed the courtroom for this decision. So in the midst of this horrific fear that people are experiencing, not just because of the environment here of what's happened in the courts in San Francisco, but what we've all heard from Oxnard, what we've heard from Los Angeles and from other areas, and then people from relatives, that that it's so impressive that folks still be going out to these places despite this horrific terrorism, of which we are beyond all victimized. You know, it's because that's what it is, Dennis. It's thought out and planned terrorism. You know, we developed in the School of the Americas with their famous manuals on how to try to dominate a population and break them up and divide by fear and tactics like these. Dennis.
That's the voice of Francisco Herrera. Good news. We've got now both Rene Salcedo, attorney who works daily with the people who are under attack, and also our own Miguel Gavila Molina. Rene Salcedo, welcome back to Flashpoints. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been experiencing, what you've been seeing in terms of the people that you represent. Tell us a little bit about who those people are and what their life has been like, given this expanded use of the shock troops and Homeland Security, which is being greatly expanded to go after the brown community in this country, the folks who do some of the hardest work, who we depend on. Welcome back to Flashpoints, Renee.
Oh, thank you. Welcome. So much, Dennis. Hello to you and Francisco. Well, the two of you know I'm based in Sonoma County, and what we're starting to see up in Northern California is an increased intensity of ICE enforcement. So we've had reports of people who are randomly targeted by ICE. People who are in process of asylum, for example. That was the most recent arrest. A Peruvian gentleman who was just in a mall in Santa Rosa, and he was picked up by ICE. And it seems like most of the arrests in Northern California are continuing to be pretty random. In Sacramento, there have been arrests at a local Home Depot, and that's the pattern that we, of course, have seen in Southern California. So we have to really learn from the experience of our Southern Cal brothers and sisters, and see what we can do to prevent as much as we can ICE arresting people at certain locations. And then just to affirm what Francisco is saying, our folks in Sonoma County were part of the Sonoma County Sanctuary Coalition, and we work primarily with farm workers. It is, you know, wine country in Sonoma and Napa. And we work with a lot of domestic workers and hospitality workers because there's a huge tourism industry. And what we've been hearing about from people who are staffing the rapid response network and the accompaniment network is that people are still going to their hearings, their court appearances, their ICE appointments, and some of them are being detained. And because there are so many more people being detained on a daily basis, a lot more people are being held at Sansom Street in San Francisco. They're being held for a couple of nights, and then they're sent to prisons in other parts of the country. And that has been a huge crisis, not only here in Northern California, but all over the country, of course, that even attorneys can't find people where they're incarcerated. And so the families in our region and in other regions too, the families are needing a lot of support, not only emotional support because they're suffering a lot of distress and trauma, but also many times the people arrested are the main breadwinners of the family. We had a situation, I talked to a woman just last week, her father was the main breadwinner. He was arrested in Petaluma, which is in Sonoma County. And so these families are, you know, in a bind because this was a family of eight. They couldn't pay rent. They didn't know what to do. Fortunately, we have a really great system and infrastructure in Sonoma County, a rapid response network, the Sanctuary Coalition of Sonoma County, and people are mobilizing to support these families as much as possible.
How does that work, Renee? Are you having planning meetings? Are people getting together? Are you creating new sort of structures and institutions? And are you getting any help from local politicians?
Well, all of the above to the first two questions, people are coming together. Organizations and individuals who historically have not worked together so much are now coming together and attending planning meetings and strategy meetings. And, of course, we all have to be very careful because the federal government is eyeing particularly nonprofits monitor our activities. So we are as private as possible when it comes to some of our strategies and tactics. But yes, the community is mobilizing. You know, churches in Sonoma County are offering now even temporary housing to families who are impacted by the deportations. We've been doing a lot of organizing. We have a hunger strike plan for next week starting on Tuesday, August 5th. Because our Board of Supervisors refused to pass a sanctuary ordinance, which most jurisdictions in our area already have, we're conducting a hunger strike that is led by the interfaith community, and we're going to camp out in front of the Board of Supervisors building until they pass a law that says that no county employee, including the sheriff, may continue to offer information to ICE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. This is Dennis Bernstein. We're also joined by our senior producer, Miguel Gavilan Molina.
And I have a question for the both of you, Rene and Francisco. And that is, I know that in San Francisco, the community is coming together and they put teams together to escort people, you know, when they're going to, you know, an appointment, or escort them to go, when they're going to court for a hearing, you know, for being processed. Is that happening in Sonoma County, Rene?
It is, Miguel. It is. And a lot more people have volunteered and are being trained to be part of this accompany network. The North Bay Organizing Project is doing a powerful job in coordinating volunteers, training them, and then sending them out to accompany people to appointments, not only ICE hearings and meetings, but, you know, people are afraid to leave their homes right now. They're so terrified of the images they're seeing on TV, on Spanish language TV, that a lot of them don't even want to leave their homes. So, you know, doctor's appointments, we know people who have even accompanied parents to escort to sign up their kids for school. It's very impressive, very impressive. And here in Northern California, I think, more and more the enforcement activities are bound to increase, unfortunately, because of the horrible budget that was recently passed, Trump's what they call the reconciliation budget which not only included cuts to important programs like Medicaid, but his budget includes hundreds of billions of dollars. Let me just say that again. Hundreds of billions of dollars to beef up Border Patrol and ICE. So we expect the level of activities in Southern California to continue up north.
No, absolutely. I've heard the same thing. And I think the number somewhere is anywhere between $130 to $170 billion, which is unbelievable.
That's right.
I mean, just out of this world. It'll be the biggest, basically, institution in this country. You know, more than police combined, more than, you know, National Guardsmen. I mean, it's out of this world. So it basically means that ICE is going to be beefed up on steroids, you know, from where it is now up to 18 to 20% more. So it's going to be like a wave. And where are these people coming from? You know, I know that there's some legislation, Renee and Francisco, called the Dignity Act, that I believe Robert Garcia, congressman from Long Beach and San Francisco, has introduced it and gotten bipartisan support. What did you know about that particular piece of legislation, Renee, Francisco?
Well, let's talk about that. Oh, I'm so sorry. Francisco, do you want to go first?
No, dale, Renee. Go ahead. Yes, I'm happy to hear.
Yeah, it's important that we talk about this. And first, let me just premise it by saying that while all these horrible things are going on, you know, ICE agents and also what I call, you know, paramilitaries using Gestapo-like tactics, I mean, that's a whole other level, right? But the good news is that immigrant communities are organizing, are fighting back, are resisting the Trump campaign of terror. And so there's been a lot of organizing, not only at the local level, the neighborhood resistance, at the state level too. Here in California, many of us came together, and because the community pushed for it, if you remember, we walked 3 days from Vacaville to Sacramento. We're getting two resolutions passed so that California condemns the deportations and California supports a path to citizenship. So at the federal level, what's happening? At the federal level, Congress people are saying, holy moly, people are, you know, are getting upset at us because of the Gestapo-like tactics of ICE. We better pass what they have called for decades, a comprehensive immigration reform law. The problem with the Dignity Act and all the immigration reform laws like it that have been introduced for the past years, Miguel, is that they include a little bit of legalization, but the bulk of these proposals are still enforcement, beefing up enforcement at the border and inland. They include pieces like an e-verify program at a national level. This is what the Dignity Act wants to do, pass a mandatory e-verify policy, which means that all employers across the country would have to electronically verify if the worker is undocumented or not. And then the legal status that it offers, it's not even permanent status. It doesn't provide a path to citizenship. What it does is that it offers a temporary status that people have to renew every 5 years or so. So is it better than nothing? No, I would argue no, because it actually hurts people and causes more suffering in the community. The piece of legislation that immigrant communities do support is the registry bill. And I don't mean to confuse anyone, because when I say registry bill, it has nothing to do with Trump's requirement that undocumented folks register with the federal government. The registry bill, which was recently introduced by Senator Alex Padilla, in the Senate, and by Zoe Lofgren, Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren in the House of Representatives, is something that immigrant communities have supported for the past 3 years. This is the third year that it has been introduced. Why? Because the registry process has existed since 1929. And what it says very simply is that any undocumented immigrant who has been in the country since a certain year may then apply for legal permanent residency, not temporary status like DACA or TPS, which are good programs and have a lot of significance, but they're very, very risky and they can be cut at any point. So, legal permanent residency, and what this bill does is that it modifies the old outdated law and says if you are undocumented and you've lived in the country for at least 7 years continuously, then and have complied with the other requirements that everyone needs when they apply for legal status or a green card, then you may apply for permanent status, which is a path to citizenship. That's why communities are supporting Alex Padilla's bill, and that's why it's very dangerous, and we need to educate people about the Dignity Bill, because it is a wolf masked as a swan.
Thank you, Renee. Thank you very much.
Francisco?
Could not emphasize more exactly what Rene, you've put out right now. And it's really the logic of the best defense is a good offense. I mean, this is already a law that exists since 1929. Of course, it was set up for racist purposes, but it really serves us now because it's the most basic, really just thing to do. Let's remember that this whole campaign is a distraction, $170 billion to distract the public from the fact that the Trump administration basically wants to rip every person and bring us back to slavery and destroy the power of unions, destroy the power of collective bargaining. That's the real purpose, you know. And so we're being used once again. They need us for food, they need us for labor, and now they need us for a distraction. And so it's so important to focus on what does work, which is the registry bill. It's the piece that people can actually work on and push that Padilla put forward. It's really a bill to just simply activate it, right, Renee? It's just simply to reactivate this 1929
That's right.
law. And so it's already in the books. And it serves a just purpose for people who've been here working, who are now being attacked under siege, violently abused of all of our communities, violently being abused by a group of thieves who are up there trying to rip off the common purse. And we need to be very active in this piece. And it's happening, like Renee, like you were saying, folks are supporting each other in the midst of this trauma with helping with rent. We've got our meeting tomorrow at 701 Alabama Street in San Francisco, and you know, folks are developing an emergency plan to help, just like in COVID. We're basically back in COVID in terms of needing to create emergency funds to help people to pay the rent, to be able to get on the bus and to be able to try to live a normal life, because now we're being under a heavy duty siege of violence. It's incredible. And the offense, the thing we can do is push the Padilla bill to reactivate the registry bill.
That's right, Francisco. We have to, as part of the resistance against Trump's attacks, we have to think in terms of local resistance, you know, and that's why in Sonoma County we're holding this hunger strike next week in order to pass a sanctuary ordinance so that local government doesn't give any information over to ICE. We have to think at the state level. California has the most undocumented migrants in the whole country. Is California doing enough to keep people safe? I don't think so. And then finally, at the national level, immigrant communities have to continue to fight for what they really want and what they really deserve as part of this resistance. And that is a path to citizenship. You know, papers for all.
And the thing is, Renee and Francisco, that it's already there. You know, the law, the registry law is already there. It just has to be activated. Well, that said, the other thing that I haven't heard people yet talk about is that when you look at the undocumented labor force, I think it's somewhere between 30% and 33% of the entire labor force in the country. So it's a significant, you know, number. Well, here you have this, you know, labor force that pays taxes every year. And, you know, it just rings in my head. Wait a second. The American Revolution happened back with Washington, you know, all those cats. You know, it happened because, you know, they were angry. They were taxation without representation. Their tea was being taxed, and they got angry. And here comes the American Revolution using that premise of, you know, being taxed with no voice. Well, now here we are in the future, 2025, with a population of workers that contributes, I believe, anywhere from 96 to possibly 100 billion dollars a year with no representation, no voice. How do you feel about that, Renee? You know, as a legal, you know, expert, as a lawyer, that here you have this group, no voice, yet pays billions, you know, into the coffers of this country.
Well, I mean, I find it putrid and so unjust that immigrant workers who sustain so many pieces of our economy here in California and in the rest of the country are abused and exploited at such a high degree. People pay taxes and then they cannot collect Social Security benefits. People pay property taxes, sales taxes, and yet they're being hunted down as if they were animals. It's not the first time we've seen this, of course, in this country, but it's an abomination. And also, I just want to say that we shouldn't have to justify our families and our friends' worth, like economically. You know, we're not commodities, we're human beings, and people, for moral reasons, should not be treated this way, should not be exploited, should not be incarcerated so that they can work as slave labor. You know, it's not only unjust because of how much our friends and families contribute, but also it's immoral. It goes against the values of what so many of us have. And so, you know, people shouldn't have to prove how much they contribute, but they do a lot. But even if they didn't, as human beings, they should be treated humanely.
Absolutely. That's, by the way, the voice of Renee Saucedo. Also joining us is our own Miguel Gavila Molina, and we have Francisco Herrera. Renee, I wanted to ask you, what about the people who depend on the people that you represent? Do you, among others, represent the domestic workers? Don't you believe that the folks who depend on this labor should be standing up, throwing their fists in the air, and defending the people who keep their lives going, keep their lives intact, make it possible for them to have it a lot easier? What about that? Any outreach there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's such good folks who are now contributing their time and their energy and who are saying things like, I want to use my white privilege in order to support this struggle of resistance. And so, you know, we in Sonoma County, we, for example, we've been able to tap into groups like Indivisible, which in our county is made up mostly of older white folks. And they've been great. They've been great. They're supporting, you know, the hunger strike. The congregations have been great. The congregations, except for the Catholic ones, tend to be, you know, employers and people in the middle class, and they're supporting for the moral reasons that I've put out. So it's not that all employers are exploitative. There are employers that employ some of my members at Almas Libres, who through the members say, how can I help? How can I contribute? So there's a lot of solidarity. Absolutely. Could there be more? Yes.
Renee, if people who are listening perhaps are in hiding as they listen to this broadcast, what do we tell them, and how can people learn more about this fast that you've been referencing? Because apparently that's going to be a focal point and an attempt to get greater attention to this extraordinary suffering of the people that you represent.
I would suggest that people really do a little bit of investigating and find out what the organizations are in their communities. Find out which ones exist and find out, you know, what these organizations need. And, you know, my big thing is we need to follow the leadership of migrants themselves. So we need to be humble in how we approach and be respectful of their leadership. But that's what I would do. There's no point in reinventing the wheel if migrant communities are already leading this, these struggles. And one of these struggles includes an activity next week in Sonoma County. We are having an interfaith-led hunger strike in front of the Board of Supervisors, demanding that the county pass a sanctuary law so that no information is shared with ICE, which it currently is. And for more information, people can see our Facebook page, which is called the Sonoma County Sanctuary Coalition. Sonoma County Sanctuary Coalition, or people can email me at Renee, R-E-N-E-E, and then my last name, S-A-U-C-E-D-O, the number 8, at gmail.com.
Beautiful. Well, listen, Renee and Gavilan and Francisco, obviously we're going to keep on this story. We're going to keep covering it. And we appreciate the extraordinary work that you all are doing to help people, support people who are now living in fear, some in hiding. Kids are frightened. We're seeing it. And everybody's seeing the images of kids being ripped, at parents being ripped out of their the hands of their kids and vice versa. This is a terrible moment in history, and it is important. The work that you're doing, Renee, is so important. We thank you for joining us. Thanks to Miguel and Francisco. You are listening and hearing this on Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Muy y embustero que ya más no puede pagar. Por eso organizamos nuestra fuerza laboral para defender la dignidad y proteger el bienestar. Aprendiendo que me puedo organizar y el idioma no es excusa para mis derechos pelear, para defender la dignidad y proteger.
Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. You may have heard that the President of the United States, so-called, says that he has moved nuclear submarines in strategic locations focused at Russia, given the statements, he says, by a former Russian president. So we're going to talk about that and the dangers that that presents with our good friend Harvey Wasserman, who is a master and expert on nukes and no nukes, fighting the dangers of nuclear power and nuclear weapons. And hopefully we'll also be joined by Linda Seeley. She's with Mothers for Peace. And then we're going to talk also about Diablo Canyon and what might have happened if, or might happen if we're hit, if the coast is hit, if Diablo Canyon is hit by a similar tsunami as the one and the storm that hit Russia. Welcome back to Flashpoints, Harvey Wasserman. Tell us about your thoughts in terms of the repositioning of these nuclear subs.
Dennis, it's always great to be with you. And what we're dealing with here is two satanic madmen, Putin and Trump. And neither of them are really predictable in any sane or rational manner. The idea that they're saber-rattling now and that Trump would move nuclear-armed submarines within range of Russia, and that Putin is rattling his atomic bomb capabilities is unsettling, to say the least. And I got to remind everybody that there are a number of nuclear power plants in the war zone between Ukraine and Russia, six at Zaporizhia, another two at Kursk, that he could hit. Doesn't need a nuclear weapon. Trump doesn't need a submarine. All they need is a drone could hit any of these reactors and cause another Chernobyl scale disaster. So Dennis, this is really terrifying. We have two guys with nuclear capability who are not rational, not sane. I have zero empathy or compassion, and we can't predict what's going to happen. This is the curse of the peace, so-called peaceful Adam.
Well, Russia just got hit by a massive storm. You've suggested that if that kind of storm hits directly on Diablo Canyon, we might have to kiss a good part of the coast goodbye.
All of it. I mean, there was an 8.9 earthquake, 8.8, 8.9, which is about as powerful as they get. There was a 9.0 not long ago, which is about the top of the scale. But thankfully, this one hit where there were no nuclear power plants. But and for no real logical reason, it did not hit in Central California. And we know at Diablo Canyon, which is 9 miles west of San Luis Obispo at Avila Beach on the Pacific Ocean, there are at least a dozen major earthquake faults, and it's 45 miles from the San Andreas, which is more than capable of delivering an 8.9 or 9.0 seismic shock. And we are 100% certain that the two reactors at Diablo Canyon, which are more than 40 years old and have never been really, they were not constructed to withstand anything close to that kind of an earthquake. And God forbid, if an earthquake the size that we just saw in Russia, so we know it's entirely possible, had hit anywhere near Diablo Canyon, all of California now would be a radioactive wasteland, because those two reactors could easily be reduced by rubble and send a radioactive cloud of apocalyptic size into the air in California. Mostly it would go generally from north to south, so it would come right into Los Angeles with a mere 11 million people. But at some point it would blow back up into the Bay Area and around through the Central Valley, which is responsible for so much of the food that feeds our country.
Say a little bit more, Harv, about how the condition of Diablo Canyon. We're hearing the nuclear experts, in quotes, saying that they are still safe, and actually they want to expand the nuclear footprint, that nukes are the way to go.
Well, these guys are every bit as sane as Trump and Putin. Trump has just decimated the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the regulatory agency that oversees the 94 commercial reactors currently operating or licensed in the United States. We basically, and these Doge guys, Elon Musk's techno kids, have essentially stripped the staff from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So there is no effective federal regulation of the nuclear power plants in this country, and that includes Diablo Canyon. Gavin Newsom's making a big show of fighting Donald Trump, but he has signed on to Donald Trump's energy policy, which is to promote nuclear and kill solar. Nobody's been more effective at killing solar in this country than Gavin Newsom. And at the same time, when the legislature was strong-armed in 22 to keep Diablo Canyon open, there was a moment where the U.S. Senator Padilla cross-examined a guy named Christopher Hansen, who was the chairman of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and Donald Trump, and Hansen assured Padilla that Diablo would be heavily regulated and would be safe, and Donald Trump has just fired Christopher Hansen. It's the first time in the 50-year history that a president of the United States has fired a commissioner from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And then, Dennis, within the last couple of days, a Republican woman on the committee, Annie Caputo is her name, has resigned. So instead of five commissioners, there are now three, and the staff at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has been decimated. So not only is Diablo Canyon not insured, there's no insurance at Diablo Canyon. You got to have insurance to drive your car, but PG&E doesn't have to have insurance to drive a Diablo Canyon. Not only is there no insurance, but there's really no regulation now. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission was always a nightmare. We called it no real chance or nobody really cares. But in reality, they did have some staff that were reasonably competent, and they could get us information from time to time. That's all gone. You know, like PBS, there is no more Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And the state government, under federal law, has no ability to inspect any safety issues at any commercial atomic reactor, which includes Diablo Canyon. As the studies are very clear, Dennis, those reactors, which are 40-plus years old, cannot withstand anything remotely the size of the earthquake that just hit in Russia. So God forbid,
amazing.
There should be such an earthquake now in California, we will have an apocalyptic radioactive cloud that will make most, if not all, of the state permanently uninhabitable.
And yet, it is the case, after all the resistance and all the information, some of which you're sharing now, it seems like what we're hearing is the future of energy is in nuclear. How does that compare to solar? Your group, Solartopia, you've been Solartopia for a long time. How can you compare and contrast?
Well, what's happening in the real world, Dennis, is 95% of the new electrical generating capacity in the world today is being the new stuff, what's coming online, is all wind and solar. For one basic reason, the market. Wind and solar have absolutely plummeted in cost, along with battery technology and geothermal. And so there's a total revolution going on. They're talking about these small reactors. It's a sham. It's a smokescreen. They're not going to happen because they are literally, literally 10 times as expensive as wind and solar. So these guys are jumping up and down, primarily in the United States. I mean, there's some movement around in other places, but the world is now undergoing a revolution in renewable technology, which Gavin Newsom in this state unforgivably is attacking. He's just like Trump. He is against renewable energy. He talks a good game. He's got this bill that you won't be able to buy a gas-fired car in California in 2035. Nobody in 2035 anywhere on this earth is going to be buying a gas-fired car, whether they're legal or not. Electric cars are, 20% the cost to operate as a gas-fired car. The Chinese have built an electric car called BYD, which they're build your dreams, which they're selling all over the world. They are selling an electric car that can charge in 5 minutes for a 300-mile range. And such a car in the United States would be $50,000. In China, it's $15,000. It's ridiculous. So we have lost our auto industry. And the Chinese now are selling about 10-to-1 or more in solar panels what we are selling worldwide. And the same with batteries. We are now a backwater. And Gavin Newsom has been a part of that, because we had a deal in 2018. Jerry Brown was the governor. Gavin was the lieutenant governor, to phase out the two reactors at Diablo and phase in renewables. And the only thing that's changed is that the renewables have gotten way, way, way more cheap and way, way, way more efficient. And California right now should be 100% solar. We have the technology. And in fact, at certain times of day, 100% of our electricity does come from solar. But Newsom, and he's personally responsible, has stepped in to allow Diablo Canyon to continue to operate, and Dennis, God forbid, an earthquake like the one that just hit Russia gets here, because we are all dead meat.
Does big money and campaign contributions have anything to do with the resistance of politicians like the ones you're talking about to go solar, if it is as you say, and I don't doubt it, you've been on this a long time, Harv, been studying this from top to bottom through the context of your group, Solartopia. What's the problem?
The problem is exactly as you say. It's money and politics. It's why we have Donald Trump in the White House. It's why we have a totally reactionary Congress and Supreme Court. It's all about the money. In this case, what we have worldwide is we have fossil fuel and nuclear power interests that have enormous investments that they want to cash out. Everybody who knows anything about energy knows that the world is going full bore towards renewables. But these guys have inventory. You know, they call it stranded assets. They have coal, they got oil, they got gas, they got nuclear that they want to cash out before we go 100% renewable. And it's, that's the case in California as well. The, you know, nuclear power is just a stalking horse to divert people's attention from the realities of how cheap and reliable and job-producing renewables have become. Even as an advocate since the 1970s, I wouldn't have predicted, nobody would have predicted, that how rapidly wind and solar have come on technologically. Just a drop in price. It's amazing. And so now you have places, you know, Trump ranting and raved about how much he hates wind power right in the middle of him cheating on his golf score. And he said that, he told the world that wind is the most expensive electricity there is. In fact, it's the cheapest. Nuclear is the most expensive by far. Wind power is the cheapest. And it's the cleanest, safest, along with solar. There's been a revolution in the technology. We in California have the highest electric rates in the continental United States for one reason, Diablo Canyon. Newsom is bailing out Diablo Canyon for $11 billion over market. At the same time, he's assaulting solar. There is absolutely no reason, technologically or economically, why California should not be 100% renewable right now. And Newsom is the reason. And as a result, we're taking this horrible gamble with these uninsured, uninspected atomic reactors at Diablo Canyon. It's a nightmare.
And this story about this, these are the new nukes, the much safer nukes, that's all questionable?
It's a fantasy. They're not going to happen unless they're totally paid for by the government. The small reactors that they're kind of developing have continually jumped up in price and jumped down in their delivery schedules. It's ridiculous. I mean, you can file it month by month. Every month, the companies that are trying to do small reactors announce price hikes and delays. It's just not a technology that's going to work. But it is a diversion to keep people's attention off the fact that renewables are absolutely blowing through the roof. It's actually a technological development pretty much unprecedented in human history.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We're running out of time, and I want to get back to this. Back to these nuclear subs that Trump says he's ordered repositioned to sort of put Russia in the crosshairs. How dangerous are they? What kind of? I guess they're nuclear powered.
Well, look, if Trump wakes up to bad news about the Epstein case, he's going to want to grab the headlines, you know. And so he's no more stable or reliable than Putin. You got two crazy guys standing in a room full of gasoline, preparing to throw matches at each other. That's the situation. And, you know, frankly, the submarines could have delivered nuclear weapons from Florida. I mean, you know, from L.A. I mean, it's the missiles can go all over the world. It's meaningless in logistical terms. Just take a few minutes longer. But you know, they're playing games with us. This is the, you know, totally a diversion. You know, while Putin is dropping drones on the civilian population of Ukraine, you know, and Trump is, you know, running away from Jeffrey Epstein. This is all a game they're playing. And the submarines maybe cuts a couple minutes off the delivery time from a weapon. But you got to remember also, a missile, but you got to remember also that they can hit a drone they can use a drone to hit any nuclear plant. I'll take one drone. They already hit covering at Chernobyl, the sarcophagus, with a drone. So, you know, this is crazy times, man. I mean, you got crazy people who don't care, and they have the technology now to wipe us all out. But as Californians, our number one responsibility now is to shut those reactors at Diablo Canyon. No matter what Putin and Trump think, they can't control the next earthquake. And God forbid that one we just had within the last few days in Russia. If that had hit pretty much anywhere in California, we'd be toast.
And what, you say cooked. Well, what does that mean? You got a minute.
It means that the reactors will blow up, as we saw at Fukushima, and they will send radioactive clouds on a scale large enough to completely contaminate hundreds of square miles to the point that human beings caught in the clouds will definitely, you know, die from cancer and other radiation-related diseases, and the land will be uninhabitable as it is around Chernobyl.
Wow. How do people get more information? Well, how do people get more information about solar, Solartopia, the work that you do? What do you recommend for people to educate themselves very quickly?
Well, write me directly, solartopia@gmail.com, solartopia@gmail.com. I will fill you in on whatever you need to know. I mean, Dennis, as you know, I've been doing this since 1973. And I will say that in 1974, Richard Nixon said there'd be 1,000 atomic reactors in the United States, which would have been 50 to 100 in California.
Gotta go. Harvey Wasserman, thank you very much. We're going to invite you back. We're going to keep an eye on this. We are out of time. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.
Thank you, Dennis. You're great.
You're welcome.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. Bienvenido.